Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
There's an old saying that goes, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. And what happened to George Floyd was all the way wrong. Absolutely wrong. Uncalled for. I've never seen that technique taught. A lot of police officers I talk to would never do that. Everybody's upset. Everybody's tired. We demand justice.
He did what?
That changed the world.
That changed the world.
Welcome into The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by New York Times bestseller Brian Windhorst, two-time WNBA All-Star Chinay Agumake. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will be talking about what is going on in the world, but we are also talking basketball today. And coming up, teams seated at the top of the standings are trying to figure out replacements for home court advantage in this new NBA restart that we're going to be talking about today. It's a single site with no fans. Wait until you hear some of these ideas. First, though, it is true. The NBA is ready to restart the season. Tomorrow, the Board of Governors are expected to approve a plan that Adrian Wojnarowski outlines here. So the NBA is inviting 22 teams to Orlando, he tweets. He says 13 Western Conference, 9 Eastern Conference, 8 regular season games per team, play-in for the 8 seeds, July 31st to October 12th. They will vote tomorrow to ratify the NBA is back. Well, Michael Jordan-ish line there from Woj. Brian, we've got a few answers here, but this really underlines how difficult the task is ahead for the NBA, because you and I have been talking about this for weeks. Every one answer creates 3 new questions. What are you hearing from teams right now?
Yeah, this has been a 6 or 7 week long struggle to get to this point. And in a lot of dark times recently, I have to say this is a good moment and we should enjoy this moment and be happy. But I want to prepare the fans of all of these teams for something here. The more details that you're going to hear, the possibility that you're going to be upset is going to grow. Because, look, this is not going to be fair. There's 13 teams in the West and 9 teams in the East, and we're playing 8 games. Guess what? That means other schedules are not going to be as balanced as your team's. You may not like your team's schedule. You may think someone else has a better schedule or a harder schedule or easier. They do. This is just not going to be fair. We're going to see teams that are in made-for-TV matchups that may have a disadvantage, and teams that are maybe less popular, who aren't as on national TV as much, have an advantage. If you're the Memphis Grizzlies, you may have to qualify for the playoffs 3 times. The 65 games you played before the break, the 8 games that you played now in the restart, and then possibly in a play-in tournament. Is that fair when the Orlando Magic may only have to beat 1 team in the East? No, it's not fair. And the other thing I want to just point out, let's not forget why we're doing all this. That's for safety. The reason we're all going to one place and the reason we've been off is for safety. We're going to have to get a lot of answers about the protocol. And I'm not talking about who gets to play in what order and who gets to play on what floor. It has to do with how often you get testing. What do you do when you're in the bubble? How safe can you be in your hotel? And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but today, Florida had its highest number of new announced positive COVID results in 6 weeks. We have to make sure that we're healthy and Florida is safe before any of this can happen.
Wendy, I totally agree with your concern. I guess as member of the, you know, vice president of the WNBPA, yesterday even, I think I was on a Zoom call between players, our leadership, our union for about 6 hours. And I think what we try to remind our players, whether you're WNBA or NBA players, these are all things that you're going to have to deal with. The bigger picture is, guess what? We've got basketball back. Things will not be fair. We've found the safest way to include as many teams as possible, even though some are disadvantaged. And we've gotten the stars back, even if you think about maybe Zion, Damian Lillard. Those were questions that needed to be answered just a few days ago. And we're trying to bring basketball back the best way, even though it's not necessarily the best scenario for it.
And that's a good thing to keep reminding teams, remind players, remind fans, Chinay, because I do agree with Brian. There's a lot here that is going to be a little bit arbitrary, or certainly feel that way. You've got six teams basically competing for a spot in the West and only two teams competing for that spot in the East. You have a big exchange over, we only have eight games. Well, some teams played a different number of games leading up to when we shut down. So if the numbers don't add up or are within the same numbers at the end of those eight games, does Memphis have an advantage because they played an extra game than New Orleans before the night that Rudy Gobert coughed? It's just, there's a lot there trying to figure out how this play-in is going to work that I do think, Brian, we're going to need to remind players over and over, well, you wanted basketball back. And the testing, too, Ramona Shelburne reporting that players are going to get tested every single day, but they're still expected to maintain social distancing protocol inside the bubble. How much do you expect this to become an issue with the Players Association?
Yeah, this is one of the things that they've been talking with the players throughout this process. I don't think anything's going to surprise them. But their liberties are going to be limited here. And, you know, they are used to being on the road. They are used to being on the road and having five-star treatment in hotels. And listen, that may not be the case that they have here. A lot of adjustments are going to have to be made.
All right, I do want to address a story about the Sacramento Kings, who have been dealing with some controversy surrounding their former play-by-play announcer, Grant Napier. The team released a statement yesterday saying Napier had resigned after he tweeted, quote, "All lives matter, every single one," in response to DeMarcus Cousins asking him what he thought of the Black Lives Matter movement. Napier later apologized, but a few prominent former Kings weighed in on him. Cousins replied to Napier's All Lives Matter tweet saying, LOL, as expected. Matt Barnes chimed in about Napier, quote, "would expect nothing less from a closet racist." And Chris Webber, whose number four is retired in Sacramento, also added, quote, "DeMarcus, we know and have known who Grant is. The team knows as well. I've told them many times. They've seen it. They know who he is." So, Chinay, I wanted your reaction to the players chiming in there that the organization has known that there were issues before. Certainly, DeMarcus seemed to know what he was doing when he sent that initial tweet. It was not just out of the blue. What do you think of all of this?
This is what athletes like DeMarcus Cousins and Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson and Maya Moore and Natasha Cloud and people of color here in the United States are trying to say. So for those confused, especially those who are not people of color, please, I'm begging you, try to hear me out. Education on this is so critical. I think we can all agree that we should live in a world where all lives matter. But in reality, we do not. Why? Our country was founded on principles of freedom for all, but it did not include people of color. For over 400 years, there have been systematic ways to oppress Black people. How do I compare this? It's like having a basketball game where you think it's fair that you won, even though you started the game automatically up 50 points with 2 minutes left on the clock. Our society was created with built-in advantages for certain people that allowed our society to set the foundation for stereotypes and racial prejudices that we still feel today. Black Lives Matter is trying to simply show that the scoreboard for so long has not started at 0-0. And people of color continue to get countless fouls that don't get called unfairly. But I think this is our time as a society for everyone to take a time out and to listen and to love and to hear. It's about a level playing field because all lives cannot matter unless Black lives matter equally. I think that's what athletes and activists are really just trying to say.
Chinay, that's so eloquent. I think your analogy is perfect in trying to explain that to sports fans. And I would just add that you should be listening to Chinay as she speaks. We should be listening to the DeMarcus Cousins and the Chris Webbers of the world for years when they speak. If they see a problem in an organization, I really implore, this situation shows, I hope leadership listens to them more because what they have to say is so valuable. All right, coming up, guys, we have a special guest dropping by, Raptors president Masai Ujiri, and you don't want to miss it. Masai is one of the most insightful voices in the NBA, and when it comes to the situation going on in this country right now, well, he's got a lot to say. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Coming up next, it's 20 minutes of Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable and around the horn. A two-hour sports center is at 5 with the PTI guys joining at 5:30, and we cap the day with SVP. Welcome back to The Jump, and welcome into reigning NBA champion, Raptors president, Masai Ujiri.
Thank you. Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Hey, you earned that reigning champ title. I'm going to use it every chance I get.
I know. I like hearing it. I haven't heard it in a while, so I like hearing it.
Masai, you have shown such leadership this past week. I've been bugging you for days to be on the show because I just think you have such an interesting perspective. You were born in England. You grew up in Nigeria. You worked in America for so long. You are now working in Canada. So let's just start there. What is your view of what's happening in the U.S. right now as someone who has lived here but also comes from somewhere else?
Yeah, it's really interesting. My kids are American and Canadian. I'm African, you know, like lived all over the world. And it's meant so much to me. So this really is painful. It's painful to see Rachel and seeing all what has transpired now. I am actually like happy that we're talking about this. This is now becoming a conversation. So thank you for doing this. But we have to keep going, right? We have to keep talking about this because there is a problem. We were stuck in our houses and dealing with a pandemic. And then here comes this pandemic that has actually been a part of our lives for a long time, but people haven't been willing to really talk about. That pandemic is racism. You know, for sure we have to talk about this.
Absolutely. And it's talking about it. It's acting on it. I'm struck that the NBA, WNBA are leagues that, of course, profit off the work and talent of Black men and women. So what do you think the responsibility is for teams to act right now?
Well, for me, it's leaders. We have to speak, and specifically white leaders. They have to speak. You know, they have to. And now we have to call it out as it is. If you see a problem, if you see something, how are you dealing with it in your organization? How are you dealing with it outward? You know, like, let's come and talk. Let's not hide anymore behind all of this, because racism is real. It's been there. Let's talk about it now. And that's the difficult part.
You mentioned writing the op-ed that was for the Toronto Globe and Mail, and it addressed your own experience with racism during the finals. You said that you can't write about this issue without acknowledging what happened in June. And I want to read yourself back to you. You said, quote, "Our team had just won the NBA championship and I was rushing to get on the court to celebrate. I was stopped, physically stopped by a police officer, and the confrontation turned nasty. There's a lawsuit that's still before the courts. He is suing me, so I can't say too much. But I will say this, if I was another team president heading for the court, a white team president, would he have been stopped by that officer? I have wondered that," quote. So I'm not going to get you into trouble here in terms of the lawsuit, but I really have wondered, Masai, what that experience was like for you in that moment of your greatest professional accomplishment. It had to be colored by an exchange like that.
Two things, Rachel. You know, like, the first thing is when he physically stopped me, you know, like when that altercation I honestly like did not think, you know, racism at the time. All I'm trying to do is get on the court and go be with my family, the people that I've won a championship with. That was the moment. The second thing is, this is totally irrelevant even now. When I compare, it's not comparable. Somebody lost his life. You know, imagine somebody lost his life. I can't even, when I think about us, humanity, okay? Us as people. Rachel, we have to figure out a way in every single country, we have to teach humanity in kindergarten, somewhere, somehow, all of us, because when I look at that guy kneeling on George and those three guys actually like watching, yeah, forget you are police. Forget you are the law, okay? You as a human being, you should be able to say, you know what? Stop. This guy is bleeding from his nose. He's peeing on himself. It's enough. It's enough, please. That's humanity. That's we as human beings. How many of these incidents are not captured on video? That's how I feel. You know, how many people that don't have the privilege, you know, they don't have it. It's not seen. It will never be seen. The story will never be told. Can you imagine how many people go through this? You know, like I happen to be on TV because of my position in sports and the NBA final, you know, like, so, and that's why I say, honestly, Rachel, now is time for us to speak, you know, and now is time for all races to speak and to speak to each other and to have this conversation with each other. Because if we don't, this cycle will continue. Something is going to happen in June. Something will happen in September, and we'll come, yep, and we'll be talking about Kaepernick, and we'll be talking about this, and we'll be talking about, no. This is a time. Let's sit down and have these honest conversations now in every single organization. Step up. Yeah, let everybody step up, okay, and do it. Don't hide. Don't run away. When people say racist stuff, point them out. Call them out, okay? So now all these things that are going on now is a good time for us. We thank him for making this happen, you know, like so that we can speak about this.
That's why it's so important to hear your voice and have it reach so many people, Masai. And honestly, just seeing you do your job shows people an example, kids, what they can be, the level of respect that you should demand and deserve. So I want to ask you a couple of questions in your role as team president here, because we're about to have a board of governors meeting tomorrow. What are your thoughts about resuming the season at all, doing it in Orlando, possibly having a play-in tournament?
To be honest, Rachel, I'm excited. You know, like I just feel that sports unites people. It brings people together. It makes us happy. I did not know how much I've missed it until I saw how many people have reacted to missing it. Right? You know, we have to respect what's going on in the pandemic. Even with this things going on now, we can't forget the health aspect of this. And I think Adam has done an incredible job of just going through the process and making sure we have all these things right before we get to this. Now, the where, the what, and all those, we all have to compromise, yeah? Where it's held, whether it's Orlando, what the format is, all those things, there's going to have to be compromised. The game has to come back in some kind of way, and me as a fan of the game, as somebody that works in the game, I just long for sports, you know, like, because it just brings us all together.
Well, I look forward to seeing you in Florida defending that title that you guys earned and being able to talk about basketball again with you. But for right now, thank you so much for talking to us about all of these things that are so much more important. Thank you, Masai.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And coming up, the top seeds are trying to figure out the best way to make up for a lack of home court advantage at the single site location the NBA is going to structure. We'll run through some scenarios next. But first, it's time for our distant replay from this date in 1992. Just a little shrug for you. Michael Jordan.
The Kreischer for three, air ball. Here's Jordan for three, yes! Did you see that look? Michael indicating he can't believe it.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Tonight on ESPN and the app, relive Game 6 and 7 of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and Heat. Game 6 starts at 7 Eastern. And tomorrow, it's a special one-hour edition of The Jump as we cover the NBA Board of Governors meeting, the results of their vote. I will be joined by Woj for all of the breaking news, and the NBA's all-time scoring leader, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, is going to stop by as well. You want to tune in. And about that return to play, all right, the top seeds, like the Lakers and Bucks, they have always had the luxury of knowing they'll be playing as long as the NBA returns. What they haven't known is how they will keep their home court advantage. But sources told our Dave McMenamin, teams that would have traditionally had home court, well, they've been coming up with ways to reproduce it. Follow along closely, because according to Dave's sources, these are some of their suggestions. The higher-seeded team could be awarded the first possession of the second, third, and fourth quarters. Or how about this? The higher-seeded team would be allowed to designate one player to be able to be whistled for seven fouls instead of six before fouling out. Or how about this? The suggestion is the higher-seeded team could receive an extra coach's challenge. Oh, this is amazing. The higher-seeded team could transport their actual hardwood home court to Orlando. And last but certainly not least, regarding which hotel they would stay at Disney World, the suggestion would be the teams pick in order according to seed. Chinee, which of these sounds most interesting to you?
You know, your girl always loves a nice five-star hotel, even a seven-star hotel. I heard those exist. Even though those luxuries would be nice, I think if we're going to compete for a championship where we've really risked a lot to get there, you want to win. So I would take any advantage that pertains to the game specifically, especially your girl. I think I once led the league in fouls. Give me seven of them. Imagine Kawhi Leonard with seven fouls. Rudy Gobert with seven. Draymond Green with seven
fouls. There you go.
I also
was waiting until you got to that. He won't be playing, but still.
Yeah, none of these are happening. I'm so sorry. Number one priority here is safety. We're not bringing out different hardwood. We're keeping as few people in the bubble as possible. I understand they all want to stay at the Four Seasons, and there's only 400 rooms, and they can't. But this is about safety first. And I know it's unfair, top teams. You're not going to have your home court advantage. Sorry.
Look, you're not the only one who feels that way. CJ McCollum today tweeted out just a few minutes ago. He said, if you can't beat me, what's the point? Extra possessions? He was saying that's not how you win a basketball game. I think Ryan was right at the top of the show. There's going to be a lot of discussion in the weeks to come about what's fair, what isn't, and what's happening. We'll see you tomorrow.